We continue our journey today through this series on commitment. And again, this word, which I have mentioned several times, is in some ways a four-letter word in our culture today. Just like covenant, just like sacrifice, just like loyalty, just like service, like submission, like humility, like absolute truth, like surrender. These words are not words that people would necessarily say are the top 10 words that they would like to use. As a matter of fact, I do feel like in our culture, especially in our younger generation, it's like these words are negative. They're four-letter words. They're not words that people would say, yes, I want to talk about the covenant. I want to talk about commitment. I want to talk about sacrifice. I want to talk about loyalty. I want to talk about service. Maybe. I want to talk about submission. I talk about humility. I talk about absolute truth. These are concepts and words that, for whatever reason, are looked at negatively. And a lot of times, because they were never explained, or if they have been explained, they've been explained from a human-centric idea of what these mean. They're not explained from God's perspective. When we understand things from God's perspective, we see that it is He who initiates. It is He who calls, gathers, draws, enlightens, and sanctifies us. It is He who has designed this from the very beginning at the fall. He has designed a plan for redemption, and is through Jesus. We recognize that commitment is what transforms a promise into reality. It is God's perfect plan. He wants this relationship with us, and He wants us to be transformed. Romans 12, right? We've heard this many times. God wants to transform us by the renewal of our mind. He wants us to sacrifice, our worship to be a sacrifice to Him. He wants us to be transformed. In our gospel lesson, Jesus is talking to His disciples just after the rich man. We talked about this last week, right? The rich man said that he had done all the commandments. He had done everything. And Jesus looked at him and he saw that there was one weakness he had, was he relied on his wealth. He relied on his human stuff. That was his idol. And so He said, if you really want to understand how to deal with this, get rid of that idol. Give everything you have to the poor. Come and follow Me. And the guy goes away in despair. Why? Because he cannot let go, surrender what he has. And that's where the statement comes out of. Because some people have pointed this and said, see, wealth's bad. No. This is the statement that comes after his discussion with the rich man whose idol was wealth. Okay? For other people, it could be pride. For the religious people, it was their sense of entitlement. I mean, it could be a number of things. For this particular man, it was wealth. And Jesus looked around and said to His disciples, how difficult it will be for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God. He could have inserted, for those who have pride, for those who have a sense of self-efficiency, for those who have a sense of entitlement. He could have inserted anything in there. But what He was saying to His disciples was, because in their minds, if someone had wealth and prestige and a place of honor, they expected that those people would receive the kingdom, right? From a worldly perspective, they figured that those people deserved the kingdom because they were receiving everything. If you remember the rich man and Lazarus story, the rich man thought that he deserved what he had. And the disciples were amazed at His words, but Jesus said to them, again, children, how difficult it is to enter the kingdom of God. How difficult. And then He uses this wonderful thing. I talked a little bit about it last week, so I don't want to spend too much time, but it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. And I think I showed you the picture last week. I'm just going to run quickly. Of the eye of the needle, the gate that's behind the main gate. That when the main gate is closed and you want to get in, you have to go through. This is actually in the city of Jerusalem, in the old city, there's the eye of the needle, which is an actual gate that for a camel to go through, the camel would have to have everything taken off and would have to basically be led through, which nobody, if you're claustrophobic like me, you do not want to go through this. But the camel could, if the camel was bare and was basically led through, which meant that the camel would have to be forced to be in a, basically bent over and forced through. And so when he says this, the disciples are thinking to themselves, wow, they're completely astonished. Exceedingly astonished. And they said, then who can be saved? They recognized in and of themselves that if it was going to be that hard, who was going to be willing to do that? Who wants to be laid bare? Who wants to be led? Who wants to be to go through difficulty? Who willingly wants to say, send me all the difficulty that you can. I'm game. Anybody? No? It's not in our nature to want difficulty. And yet, the disciples are exceedingly astonished and said, then who can be saved? Jesus looked at them and said, with man, it is impossible. With man, it is impossible. But not with God. For all things are possible with God. Brothers and sisters, we live in a time where people are convinced that if it's difficult, there's something wrong. And yet God's commitment to Abraham and now to us is that trusting in the Lord and our church community, we can receive the strength and confidence to face difficult situations. The biggest myth out there is that when you become a Christian, everything's going to be great. And we are living in an age where there are more people persecuted for the gospel than ever before. We are living at a time, maybe not in the United States of America, but in the world, where people are dying for their faith more than ever in the past. I'm not President Trump. I'm not exaggerating. I'm telling you the truth. Never before has there been this many people murdered for their faith. We are living in a time where when the church in North America and in Europe, which has been pretty comfortable, thinks that difficulty is somehow counter to God's plan and will, then what do we say about the people who are dying for their faith around the world, who are being martyred for their faith? Are they not living according to God's will? Not living according to God's plan? God's will, God's plan is for us to be not only supported by Him, which is what I loved when Ben was lifted up. I didn't expect to use a stool, but it was fun. When Ben's lifted up in order to achieve what needs to be attained, which is to be higher than Chantry, which is kind of hard, right? We recognize that we need to be lifted up. It's not going to happen on our own strength. The reason why I support Voice of the Martyrs and why I am so encouraged by what I see happening around the world is because people who are going to be martyred oftentimes find their strength not in their own ability or discipline, but in the ability that God gives them to stand for the truth even under tremendous persecution. It's a God-given power to have peace in the midst of difficulty. It's a God-given power to know that no matter what happens in this life, God still has a place for us in eternity, right? Amen? So trusting in the Lord and our church community and understanding the covenant that He has made with us, the commitment that God makes to us, helps us to face difficult situations. Because difficult situations happen. Difficult situations come. They, in the form of difficulties in the economy, difficulties in our health, difficulties in all kinds of things. And yet God wants to show up. And Jesus looked at them and said, with man it is impossible, but not with God. For all things are possible with God. Jesus said that we would see things even, and we would do even greater things than He did. Isn't that awesome? He wants to heal. He wants to give peace in the midst of difficulties. He wants to show His power. He wants to help us to understand the commitment we have to one another. That if we confront sin in the community and live our lives together in this koinonia community, that we can truly grow as disciples and hear what we need to hear. We talked about that last week, you know, but being loving enough and caring enough to confront, to deal with sin, to deal with the things that we need to hear about. And sometimes those are difficult. How many of us like to be disciplined? What does Hebrews 12 tell us about discipline? Remember the text? If you have your Bibles, I didn't put it on the screen, I apologize, but if you have your Bibles, look up with me chapter 12 of Hebrew. You can look it up on your phone if you wish. And let's look at chapter 12 of Hebrews. And what does it say? Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. And have you forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons? My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by him. For the Lord disciplines the ones he loves and chastises every son whom he receives. It is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons or children. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? If you are left without discipline, in which all have participated, then you're illegitimate children and not sons. You see, how many of us want discipline? I don't want discipline. You want discipline. Good job. Not many of us want discipline. And yet we know from this scripture that God disciplines those he loves, right? But why is it so important to be disciplined? Because that's how we grow. And so, brothers and sisters, we should know that when we go through difficult situations, it is God disciplining us. It's God growing us. It's God wanting us to grow. And it should be in the environment of a safe community, like the church, where we can know that we have a desire to help one another grow. We're not doing this to put ourselves on a pedestal or to make ourselves feel better when we talk to someone about sin. But we're confronting these things because we want to grow and be whom God has called us to be. Amen? And I'm telling you, I'm being honest with you, this is difficult. To be a healthy community, to be a place where people grow as disciples is not desirable. I can show you if you have time. I don't have time right now, but if you want to come to my office, I'll show you example after example after example where churches who have been led by God to go in this direction have given up because it's too difficult. It's too difficult. It's too difficult in our narcissistic age for people to be confronted with sin and to be spurred on and to be disciplined and to grow. It's too difficult. They want to decide what's right. They want to decide how far they go and no farther. And yet when Jesus says this to the disciples, they're exceedingly astonished because what he's telling them is so true. This is what he says. How difficult to be totally sold out for Jesus, totally committed. How difficult it's going to be different. How difficult it's going to be dependent. How difficult it's going to be transparent. How many of us really, truly want to be transparent? Yes. And I'll be honest with you. It scares me. It scares me. But I know it's God's will. It's his desire for us to be transparent. What I mean by that is to be transparent because in our day and age, people automatically assume that you're a hypocrite. This day and age, people automatically assume that what you say is not necessarily true. We live in a day and age where people are pessimistic about everything. And yet to be transparent means to be authentic. It means to be truthful. It means to be real. It's difficult to be a disciple, to be led. It's difficult to give it all to surrender. It's difficult to be totally open to God's will. Listen to Jesus' words to his disciples. Peter began to say to him, I like this. Peter was about to make a speech. How many speeches did Peter make that really went well before the resurrection? Not many. I think he should have given it up. But he kept doing this, right? So every time I hear these words, Peter began to say, I'm thinking, oh no, I just cringe. Because, you know, it didn't really ever go well for him. One time when he said, you are the Son of the living God, Jesus said what? Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for these words were not given to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And then shortly thereafter, he's called Satan. So what are you going to do, right? Peter began to say to him, see, we have left everything and followed you. Jesus said, truly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or lands for my sake and for the gospel who will not receive 100-fold now in this time. Houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands. Now what does he add there? With persecutions. See, we often skip that part. And in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first. You see, God wants us to understand that he really does want to grow us. He wants to grow us. And just like the vine that needs to be pruned in order for it to grow, we too are being invited into this relationship with God, our relationship up and the relationship with each other, to ask the question, are we willing? Are we willing to go through the difficulty of growth? How many of you, when you were growing up, had growing pains? The story is told in my household when I was growing up, that I had such bad growing pains in my legs that I used to have a heating pad. You know what a heating pad was? I don't know if they even sell those anymore. They probably do. And I had this heating pad, and I'd wrap it around my legs. And then I would, every once in a while, I'd sleepwalk. And this kind of freaked people out because, of course, I would pull it out of, it was plugged in, I'd pull it out of the wall, and the cord would go along and hit the wall at night. Kind of freaked people out. Because I had growing pains. It was painful. And yet, brothers and sisters, the invitation that God gives to us is to enter into this discipline, to enter into this covenant, to enter into this commitment, to be 150% sold out for Jesus and committed to him, because he will do what's best for us. He will. He wants to grow us. As individuals and as a body, he wants to grow us. He wants to let us go through the eye of the needle. I don't think that was an especially exciting experience for the camel. I don't. Yet he wants to grow us, doesn't he? He wants to discipline us. He wants to lead us. He wants us to surrender to him and to let him lead us where he wants us to go. He's not promising it won't be difficult, but he's promising to be there. Just as I lifted Ben up on the stool today, he wants to lift us up. He wants to lift us up. He wants to give us the power to get through these things, because with man, it's impossible. But not with God, for all things are possible with God. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you invite us into this commitment relationship. Number one, you commit to us. You invite us into this covenant through the waters of baptism. It's all you. It's nothing that we do. It's all you. And as we grow as your children, as Hebrews 12 said, you discipline us. You grow us. Lord, help us to look at difficult times and difficult situations as an opportunity for growth. Help us not to get angry. Help us not to try to avoid them. Help us to confidently move forward, trusting that just as the camel goes through the eye of the needle, you can bring us through these difficult situations and into this kingdom that is advancing here on earth, and that will finally advance all the way to heaven. Lord, help us to just rejoice in the fact that you want to grow us to be whom you've called us to be, and that you have formed this commitment, this covenant relationship with us, and you will never abandon us nor forsake us, but you will continue to grow us. That is your promise. May we be willing. May we be open. For Lord, when we are open, you are able to do amazing things with us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.